Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. I seem to recall that Mark, before me, had a weakness for White Castle. And I've never really warmed up to White Castle, but every now and then, McDonald's fries just are exactly what a person wants. Probably showing my age here, but how many of you might have seen the old documentary Super Size Me? Any of you see that? All right, I'll tell you what it's about. It's this guy who decides to conduct an experiment, and he decides that for, I forget what it was, 6 months or a year, something like that. I don't think it was a year, maybe 6 months. He was going to eat nothing but McDonald's. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. He could order anything he wanted on the menu. The only stipulation was that if they asked him if he wanted to supersize it, he had to do it. So he started out on this, and for a while, everything goes great. I mean, after all, McDonald's has made a career of making their food craveable, making it taste good. But after a couple months of this, he starts gaining weight, his health starts declining, until finally, before he makes it to the six-month mark, he has to knock it off because his kidney function is starting to fail. The problem is not that the guy's hungry. We're all hungry. The problem is what he's eating to meet that hunger. We're all of us hungry. That is one, I think, of the most human attributes that bonds us together. When a child is born, one of the first things they do to check for proper brain function is to see if it has a sucking reflex, to see if it's hungry. And indeed, Even in our stories of origin, we acknowledge that hunger right away. The very instant that God creates Adam and Eve, the first thing God does is provide for their hunger. He puts them into the garden and says, "You can eat of any of the trees you want." The problem is not that they are hungry. The problem is what they eat for that hunger. Because soon there is the serpent inflaming their hunger for forbidden fruit, for something other than what has been given for their hunger. And there we find the beginning, it seems, of the problem. That although we are so hungry, we keep looking in the wrong places, looking to the wrong nourishment, looking to the wrong food to feed that hunger. In our first lesson from last week, in today's first lesson, we hear about the Israelites coming out of Egypt, coming out of slavery into a new freedom, and the first thing they realize, as if they have been newly created, is that they're hungry. And they complain to Moses, "Give us something to eat. Have you brought us out here just to kill us?" At least back in Egypt, we always knew where our food was coming from. Again, the problem isn't that they are hungry, but in what they seek to meet that hunger. In their case, they decide that the bread of slavery is to be preferred to whatever it is that God might provide for them here in freedom. They complain to Moses to give them something to eat. Moses complains to God, and God says, "All right, I'll give you something to eat." And when they wake up the next morning, here's this stuff. This stuff that has settled down from heaven like dew onto the ground. They come out of their tents, and what do they say? What is it? What is this stuff? That's what the word manna means. It's Hebrew literally for "what the?" What is this? They don't recognize this new bread. And they have to learn how to eat all over again. The first thing they want to do is they want to scoop it all up and hoard it. But they very quickly discover that anything they try to hold on to for more than a day becomes corrupt and rotten. They have to learn how to rely on God for daily bread, for their sustenance in its time. They have to learn to eat enough and not more. Last week in our gospel lesson, we heard about Jesus feeding the people. He has so little to work with, just a little bit of bread, a little bit of fish, and yet somehow everyone gets enough. And now here, the people come again. They follow Jesus across the sea over to the other side. And when they find him there, they say, "Rabbi, what are you doing here?" Which smacks of a certain insincerity. It sounds kind of like the old, What? Imagine meeting you here. We had no idea you'd be here. Oh, and look at the time. It's lunchtime. Gee, I wonder wherever we'll get something to eat. Boy, remember our forebears, how they got that manna to eat? That was good eating. Them was good times. Jesus, what are you going to give us? And Jesus tells them, you haven't come looking for signs. You've come simply because I put food in your belly. If that's all you're looking for, if that's all that you want, go on home. You'll find bread enough there. But you'll be hungry again and again and again. But if you are looking for something to meet that deeper hunger, if you are looking for something to feed not just your body but your soul, then stay and I will feed you with a new bread. They say, well, you know, Moses gave us manna. That, what is it stuff? What are you going to give us? First of all, Jesus sets them straight. It wasn't Moses who gave you that bread. It was my Father in heaven. It was God who gave you that new bread to eat. Now, if you are truly hungry, I will give you new bread to eat. And in response, they say, give us this bread always. When you heard that line, or when you read that line, did it remind you of any other story in Scripture, in the Gospels? Lord, give us this bread always. When I read that, I instantly thought of the story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. When she comes and meets Jesus at that well, and they end up having that conversation, and her hunger for love, her hunger for acceptance, her hunger for God is revealed. And Jesus promises her that if you are open to it, I will give you water so that you will never have to come back to this well again, so that you will never again be thirsty. And in response, she says, Lord, give me that water always. A while back in our Brown Bag Bible study, the question was raised, why does Jesus so often tell people after a healing or after a miracle, don't tell anybody? And we talked about that, and we looked at the fact that people aren't ready for it yet. They're not ready to hear who Jesus really is. But interestingly enough, in that story of the Samaritan woman and in this story, in both cases where the people say, you know, give us the water you're talking about. Give us the bread you are talking about. When they reveal that deeper hunger, Jesus tells them plainly who he is. To the Samaritan woman, he says plainly, I am the Messiah. And to this crowd gathered around, he says plainly, I am the bread from heaven given for the life of the world. They have found the right hunger, but it will take them a while longer to figure out what the bread is that they need to feed that hunger. Because like the Israelites in the wilderness who could not recognize this new bread, so people will not recognize this new bread from heaven. When he calms the sea, the disciples will say, "Who is this that even the sea and the wind obey him?" When he talks to the woman at the well, she will say, "Who is this? Could it be that this is the Messiah?" Pilate will say, "Who is this? Could it be that this is the King of the Jews?" His own disciples will say, "Who is this? Could it be that this is a ghost?" when they see him walking on the water. And even after the resurrection, they'll say, "Who is this? Is this the gardener?" It will take them a while after the resurrection to put it all together and to recognize that this one represents what they have been so hungry for. That this one is indeed the new bread from heaven, the one who comes to bring life to the world. The problem is not that we are hungry. Of course we are hungry. We are God's creatures, and God feeds us. The problem is what we look for to fill that hunger. We've gotten so good at substituting other things. We are hungry for acceptance and for love, and we substitute sex. We are hungry for acceptance and control, and we substitute McDonald's. We are hungry for so many things, and we look to the wrong places to fill that hunger. But Jesus comes to show us who we are and what the source of our hunger is and who is the one who can fulfill that hunger. Who it is in which we can find peace. Who it is who can cure us of our hoarding madness. That fear that tomorrow will never bring what we need. By giving us what we need in due season. And like those 5,000 gathered around, we receive a little bit of bread. We receive just enough for this day. Just enough to get us through. Just enough to teach us once again that God provides for God's creatures. Until that day comes when God's kingdom is fully established, that day that we cannot fathom and we can only imagine. That day that the prophets imagined as a great feast set out before us, full of wonderful things to feed our hunger. And on that day, we will be fed with everything we need. And all of that hunger and that yearning will be given over to God. Amen.